Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, so it was the browser. For some reason, Chrome did not want to work with my mic. But apparently, this browser will. Safari will, so we're good. All right.
Okay. Shit. I'm gonna mute myself.
Now, where is Rachel? Yep, so I thought it was me that was going to make it late starting, but nope, I guess not. Although, anyone on Blog Talk can hear this right now, so we're technically broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio. We're just not broadcasting on anything else. And I'm hearing a noise. It went away. All right. Nope, there it is again. We're having technical difficulties. But we should be good as soon as Rachel's able to get her mic to work. Oh, I got a message on the Facebooks. Switching to my login, can't get the mic to work. What does that mean? Okay. Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay. The dude on the phone is just listening.
Okay.
Huh?
All right, well, we're ready. I guess we're ready to broadcast, aren't we?
Give me, like, 30 seconds.
All right. I got my external recorder going, and I just hit the start broadcast. And I guess I'll open with a rant, although I don't really have one, but I'll wing it.
Yeah, rant about fucking abstinence and Palin.
We got all kinds of stuff. I'm going to talk about the rebel flag and gay marriage.
Oh, that too?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Just rant. And then I would say do your Woo segment, and then I'll do mine after yours because I need to reread my article again. I just woke up.
Okay. You want me to do the Woo right after the rant?
Or whatever you want to do after.
Well, after we talk
don't
a little bit.
Me first.
All right. All right. Here we go. We're going to broadcast. Hello, everyone. This is Professor Stephen and Rachel with Atheists on Air. And here's my fulmination to open this one. So, since our last episode, a number of things have happened, good things and bad things. One of the horrible things is that a fucking racist piece of shit shot a bunch of innocent black people while they were attending adult Sunday school in their church. And this has caused a number of things to be talked about in the media. For instance, Fox News immediately tried to blame it, say it wasn't racism that motivated the shooting. It was anti-religion. It was because he was an anti-theist. He wanted to kill the Christians. They spun it to be Christian persecution instead of racism. Of course, this turned out to be complete and utter bullshit. Once his manifesto was found online, a racist scree that I read, holding back the vomit in my throat, and it's come out, the fact is that he was actually a member of a Lutheran church. Now, I have a feeling that he wasn't a good Lutheran because most good Lutherans don't kill people. So, but anyway, having said that, in defense of Lutherans, which I still think are full of shit, at least they're a more moderate version of Christianity. So what is the upshot of this? We have a racist Christian who killed a bunch of black Christians. They tried to blame it on atheists because they want to deny the idea that racism is even a problem in America anymore. When in fact what happened was he was radicalized on the internet. He, along with other racists, got together and fulminated over what they saw as the problem in America being immigrants and black people. When in fact this guy was just a fucking loser. If you actually look up who he was and his dumbass haircut, he was a fucking loser, former landscaper, who was jobless and blamed his problems on other people. So it's interesting. It's always this type of person, isn't it? It's always this type of person, this fucking loser who gets a gun and goes and kills someone or something like this. And in fact, this is exactly how the Nazi Party started in Germany. If you look them up, you'll find out that most of them were fucking losers who weren't successful at anything and were good at blaming other people for their problems. That seems to be the pattern. Well, what else has come out about this guy? Well, there are pictures of him flying the rebel flag. And this caused a stir because in the same state that the shooting occurred, there's a rebel flag flying over the, I believe it's the State House. And people were calling for it to be taken down. And people on my Facebook were arguing back and forth about freedom of speech and about what the rebel flag means and what it symbolizes, blah, 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 blah. It means it's a symbol of Southern culture. It doesn't necessarily mean racism. I have news for you. It does represent racism. It really, truly does. It started out as a symbol of the Confederacy. And if you actually read any of the articles that the various states wrote, declarations of independence that they did when they pulled out of the Union, you'll see that slavery was the number one reason for each and every one of them. Or to put it a different way, they pulled out of the Union because the federal government was going to consider black people to be people. And that's why they pulled out. So, yeah, the rebel flag is racist. And, in fact, this particular rebel flag that everyone is talking about was actually made popular, brought back from obscurity by Strom Thurmond and the Dixiecrats whenever they refused to get on board with the rest of the Democratic Party when it came to civil rights. So if the real legacy of this flag is denying people civil rights, is trying to continue school segregation, oppose integration, and keep black people in their place, so to speak. Now, am I calling for the rebel flag to be banned? No, I'm not. In fact, you can't ban a flag in America. You still have the right, if you want to get together with a bunch of your racist asshole friends and march down the middle of a Jewish community flying the Nazi flag and preaching hate. You have that right in America to do that. Now, I think personally, anybody who'd want to do that, I would like to see fall off of a tall bridge in Chicago and die, but, you know, that's just me. But I still defend their right to go out there and say such disgusting things because it means I have the right to come on here and say the things that I want to say. And so that's just the bad side of freedom of speech, is that you also have freedom to say awful, awful things. But I think that that's the way it should be. I think that that's – I default to freedom. And so I say you can't ban the rebel flag. But you can damn well take it off of a freaking government property. You could take it down off of a state house in South Carolina. You can take it off the flag of a state as well. Because not only is it a symbol to many people of racism and hate, but it's also a symbol of – it's also un-American. It's also the symbol of a group of a regime that tried to rebel from America and remove itself from America, and they lost. That has no business being displayed on any government property. Now, if you want to display it yourself on your hat, on your license, on anything like that, by all means, go ahead. Exercise your freedom of speech. Of course, I'll sort of have a clue as to what sort of person you are when I see it, but, you know, maybe you can prove me wrong once I get to know you. But it's interesting because that flag represented, mostly in our country's history, has represented opposition to civil rights. And that's interesting because we've seen this week something else interesting has happened. So that flag was used to oppose the ruling of Brown versus the Board of Education. And now we see a lot of people coming out and trying to protest against the ruling Obergefell versus Hodges, which was a wonderful ruling by the Supreme Court that recently legalized marriage for all citizens in this country, not just men and women. But now everyone has the right to marry. Another great moment in civil rights history that a lot of people are pissed off about. For instance, Mike Huckabee, who said that there'll be a great uprising, that there'll be an opposition to this, and he compared the Christians to Martin Luther King. And I want to point out, you got it backwards there, buddy. King was on the side of freedom, the correct side of the civil rights movement. And you're on the wrong side, Mr. Huckabee. You and all of your fundamentalist Christian ilk, you're the ones that are anti-freedom. You're not like Martin Luther King. You're like Strom Thurmond, flying his rebel flag in protest of black people being able to go to the same schools as white people. And that's all that I have to say about that. Well, maybe one more thing. I'm very, very glad to say that the Supreme Court made the right decision in this case. However, they barely made the right decision. You'll notice that the votes split almost down party lines. All the conservative Supreme Court justices were dissenting. Well, there was one, Justice Kennedy, who was appointed by Ronald Reagan, who ended up, he's the one, when I talk about the Supreme Court having four Christian fucktards, 4.5, he's the 0.5, he's the swing vote. It turned out in this case that he was more of a libertarian than he was a conservative, and he did the right thing. And I'm very thankful that he did. That he decided to side with freedom, liberty, and love rather than on the side of closed-minded bigotry and religion. However, as I've said before many times, we're going to have another election, and there's a good chance a new Supreme Court justice could be nominated. And this ruling that has happened, this ruling for freedom and for equality for gay people, is going to piss off all of the bigots in the country. And it has pissed them off. And they're all going to go vote now. They're all going to go vote to try to elect officials to try to overturn this, just like they try to do with abortion, just like they originally tried to do with integration before they lost that battle utterly. So this next election is going to be a big deal because they're going to come out. They're going to be angry because of this, and they're going to vote. And we have to vote, too. We have to vote someone in who's not going to put a fifth crazy Christian on the Supreme Court. Because if we had had that fifth person in during this last vote, we wouldn't have, gays wouldn't have the right to be married right now. We got this in by the skin of our teeth because of one man who decided he freedom more than his religious bullshit.
As if fake Jesus and his imaginary sky daddy didn't already have enough to deal with, along comes Atheists on Air, calling them out, calling them names, blaspheming and apostatizing. Busy helping Betty Sue find her keys, aiding Larry on that big math test and giving chill bumps to the Pentecostals and the Mormons, while 19,000 starving children die every day. They surely did not need this. They didn't need this ragtag hillbilly from the Carolina Mountains watering down the Jesus juice, spreading the truth, using reason and logic to corrupt the followers with knowledge and facts. How will the priests and pastors continue mesmerizing, sodomizing, and homophobicizing the flock if the flock sees behind the curtain? You're listening to Atheist on Air with Cash, broadcasting live from the Appalachian Mountains of North Carolina. This show proudly wears the explicit tag, and you've been warned. They use words like fuck, shit, cunt, damn, hell, motherfucker, fucktard, scumsucker, asshat, fucknut to emphasize their angst with the pedophile preachers, the cradle-robbing clergy, the fraudulent religious folk, and the conservative lawmakers attempting to impose their morals in our laws and on humanity. You've been warned.
Well, Rachel, how have you been?
I've been awesome. You can
good.
Hear me, right?
Everything, yes, everything's good.
Awesome and not like a laptop mic.
Right.
I apologize for previous episodes. I'm glad I have a nice mic. I have real headphones on. I think I look pretty legit. I'm not actually legit, but...
You got the appearance of legitimacy.
I can look like it in a screenshot.
Yeah. Well, me, I look very dark right now because I'm in my little dark room. But I've been moving again.
Yeah, you've been keeping busy. You were worried you weren't going to be here, and I was going to have to run everything by myself, and that would have been awful.
I made it. That rant I did at the beginning, or the, as I call it, fulmination, that was a little off the top of my head, so I apologize for any ramblingness that might have occurred.
I think it's a kick-ass skill to be able to show up and be like, oh, shit, I need to rant for 10 minutes about something that I care about and that I need to say something accurate, and to be able to do that and get passionate and angry. And then
right.
You think back in high school when you had to be told to do a 2-minute presentation on something in front of the class, and you're like, how the fuck am I going to talk for 2 whole minutes
right.
about this? How am I going to do this? And now it's like, oh, I have 10 minutes. Oh, I'll just pull something out of my ass, and it's going to be accurate, and it's going to be a valid opinion, and it's going to be awesome.
Well, I learned how to pull things out of my ass in college. You know, that was one of the skills that I acquired.
Yeah, I'm still learning that one.
Especially papers. But anyway.
I did write a paper once where I realized my professor didn't give a shit, and so in the middle of it, I just wrote three paragraphs about how much I like cheese.
Nice.
I got definitely an A+ on that paper.
Oh, wow. That reminds me of that journal article that was published, and it was just a series of curse words, I think.
I bet my paper's a journal now. The science of why I like cheese.
Yes. Now, I'm wondering why, during my rant, Blog Talk was counting down things. I still haven't got that all figured out yet. You heard that?
Yeah.
Three more seconds. What are you doing? I'm talking here. Anyway.
Did it start late, maybe?
I have no idea. But anyway, I apologize to everyone for that as well. We're still
learning. Stephanie.
So, I have also, even though I've been moving, and yes, I'm just moving to the other side of town, basically. I still have a snake oil woo-woo segment, and it's going to be on drawing salves. And Rachel, what do you have for us today?
I don't know what those are, but I don't have too much. Maybe I'll pull some stuff out of my ass, but I wanted to talk about an interesting science, I guess. It was a news article that was written on Science Daily from a recent journal, and it was talking about three-year-olds and their sense of injustice and how they interpret certain situations that are presented to them and how they can actually track what a three-year-old is paying attention to.
I see.
And how it views the victims versus the perpetrators, and then how far they take it when it comes to justice.
That's so cool.
When three-year-olds have not quite, I don't think they've read the Bible yet.
Right. No.
Maybe, but.
Yeah. And then we're going to have at the next hour mark, we're going to have a special guest. Am I right about that?
Yeah, we're having Chris Weber from the Paranormal Skeptic Academy. I usually mess that up. He has his own podcast. It's a really awesome that debunks that the most retarded paranormal shit out there. And we're going to have Jason come on during that segment because he loves that show.
That's awesome. What was it called again? Paranormal Skeptics Academy. That's
Paranoid
awesome.
Skeptic Academy. That sounds like a fun.
That sounds like
fun
a bunch
club.
Of conspiracy theorists. But that's an awesome name. That sounds like something I would watch on TV.
Yeah, hell yeah. So hopefully he's going to tell us, you know, how to find him, and they're going to be debunking some douchebaggery from the Ghost Adventures. That was what was going to come out of my mouth. The Ghost Adventures on the Travel Channel.
All right, cool. Now, I want to add something to my rant, a thought that I'd had that I forgot to put in there about freedom of speech. You know, yes, you have the right to march down in the middle of a Jewish neighborhood with a Nazi flag. You have that freedom. You have the freedom to do whatever you want with a Confederate flag. You know, neither one of these flags should be flying on state property. And the reason I value the fact that you can do that, I like to live in a country where you can actually do that because it means I can say what I want to say. And there's a lot of countries where this podcast would get you in trouble. Specifically, my snake oil woo-woo segment. I could be sued in some countries for that segment. Even Great Britain is having a problem with this. Their libel laws are so crazy that if you say someone's a quack or someone's a fraud, even if they demonstrably are, you could still be sued by them. And I'm very glad that I live in a country where that doesn't happen.
Yet.
Yet. Right. So
you
never
know.
I'll put up with the fucking neo-Nazis marching, you know, as long as I can come on here and do this and we can have freedom to express our ideas as well. That's just what you have to put up with in a free country. But hopefully, ultimately, people like the neo-Nazis, hopefully they'll die out. That's my hope. Hopefully those ideas will die in the free market of ideas on their own organically because people hate it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the same reason why Walmart's no longer selling rebel flags, not because the government forced them to stop selling them, but because people didn't want them to sell them, so they decided not to.
Yeah. it's a slow process, but it works.
Yep. I see that Stephanie's telling me that you can be sued if you don't state that it's your opinion, even in America. State it as a fact. Although, I would think that if someone's been convicted of fraud, saying they're a convicted fraudster is a fact. So
I love the way that she spelled fact. F-A-C-K.
Fact. Fact. Isn't that how some people...
Yes, it's a fact.
Yeah. Well, if anyone wants to call in and talk to us about this sort of thing, here's a little...
You're listening to Atheists on Air. We're a live call-in show and welcome all, believer and non-believers alike. Feel free to call in live during the show at 646-716-6404.
Yeah, some people have been sued in America, but in England you can really be sued. So,
it's scary.
Yep. So I guess we'll go ahead and get the snake oil woo-woo out of the way, first of all.
Yeah, since we waited to the very end last time, and that one was fucking hilarious. And,
it was.
And so scarring.
Yes, it really opens your eyes on the level of horse shit that you can get away with in America and in other countries.
We probably ought to do this.
And now, the moment you've been waiting for... Hailing from the cesspool called college with his liberal, commie, hippie, pinko, spy education, Professor Stephen attempts to spread the disease of reason, the virus of logic, while shoving a bit of science in the face of woo. Welcome to the Snake Oil Woo Woo Science Segment.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and talk about drawing sad. What is this? Well, so I go into the store and I see this. Sometimes being sold in supermarkets, and I've heard people talk about it like an old home remedy drawing salve. And there's multiple dimensions to this. Now, I'm not going to say that drawing salve is snake oil. I think it actually does do something. But that's just one kind of drawing salve. So basically what drawing salve is supposed to be is it's supposed to be this salve you rub on and it draws things out. I don't know how it's supposed to draw things out. I mean, it could be astringent. It could, like, it's supposed to, like, if you have a boil under the skin, you put drawing salve and it will come to the surface, and then you can deal with it. Or they say if you have a splinter in your skin, that it will allow that splinter to be, yes, there's some drawing salves. There's some homeopathic drawing salve. Now, I want to get to that in a minute. They say that it'll help, like, get a splinter out of your hand or draw out venom from a bite, for instance.
It looks pretty legit on CVS Pharmacy. It's got a normal ointment box.
Mm-hmm.
It's rated 4.8 stars, $8.
This particular one, I don't know. What is this? Is a drawing salve? This is a...
I don't know. It's an ointment drawing salve.
Yeah. Okay, so what I did is, the first thing I did is I just went online and looked it up, and I found on a site called Wellness Mama, which I wouldn't trust. But black drawing salve recipe, old-fashioned black drawing salve.
Ooh.
Now, I want to point out something. There's another kind of salve called black salve. Don't look that up. Whatever you do, Rachel, don't type that into your website. Don't type in black salve. We don't want people to throw up. I'm going to cover...
Can I look at wellnessmama.com?
Yeah, you can look at that. That's fine. Because
okay.
this is black drawing salve, not black salve. Two completely different things. I want to get to black salve in a minute. Black drawing salve, old-fashioned black drawing salve, and she says she learned this recipe from the Amish, because when you want medical advice, a bunch of inbred religious zealots, they're the ones. But anyway.
Traditional work.
Yeah. So the ingredients are some herbs, plantain-infused olive oil, shea butter, and I'm thinking to myself, traditional old-fashioned Amish shea butter from Africa. What? Okay, anyway, traditional old-fashioned Amish coconut oil, some vitamin E oil, activated charcoal powder. Activated charcoal is a manufactured product that is a charcoal that's been manufactured to have a lot of little pores in it, to have a lot of surface area, and it absorbs chemicals into it and bonds with them. And you can actually take activated charcoal if you've ingested poison, you can take it internally and it'll sequester the poison in itself.
That sounds like some sort of weird Power Rangers ability.
Activate
charcoal! charcoal.
Activate charcoal. It's real stuff. We use it in the lab. It's in emergency kits. It works. And then some clay and some lavender essential. So I'm looking at this recipe, and I'm thinking to myself, this might actually do something.
Okay.
Activated charcoal would absorb bee sting venom, things like that, if you got it to the wound quick enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once it's in your bloodstream or whatever, it's not, you know, once you got, it's just not going to cure you of a cobra bite. You need to go to the hospital. But this looks to me like it would draw out some chemicals like toxins. I'm going to use the word in the real context of natural things that sting, like sting you. It might bring a boil to the surface. It might just do that. And also, I would think it would lubricate a wound. It would probably make it easier for the wound to be opened up, like in case it had like a splinter or something in it. And then you could get to the splinter. So this might kind of work a little. Now, there are better ways to do that. But I'm not going to say it's bullshit. I'm saying that probably would work to a certain degree. So then you get to the stuff that you see in the store. And it contains some sort of herb called ichthamol, ichthamol.
Even sciencey people can't pronounce science words.
No, not all the times. I have no – how do I find the pronunciation? I don't know.
You never can.
Ichthamol. And that's an herb, and it might actually – help with some stuff too, with treatment of wounds, minor wounds. I don't know if it actually draws anything out or not. You know, like the activated charcoal would kind of maybe draw out some chemicals that were in your skin. It also takes the oil off of you. I know this. We used activated charcoal years ago in a sort of a prank we did. We used it to make it look like we had like clown beards. You know, like that 9 o'clock shadow you see. Like, you know, you could put it on your face. Like it was like it's like talcum powder except black. Anyways, a long story. We were dressing up as clowns, and after it was all over with, our oily teenage skin had become completely unoily. It had absorbed all the oil from our face. So activated charcoal does work in that way. So this stuff appears to be antibiotic, and it's an old-timey remedy, salve to aid healing. But I'm telling you right now, you're better off taking antibiotics or doing both than using this. But this might help a little bit with healing of wounds, maybe. It's just not been investigated enough. This person claiming that
there was a half-inch piece of wood in their thumb,
mm-hmm.
and they used the drawings out, and 3 days later it popped out on its own.
The magnetic property is amazing. You know what, though? But 3 days later it might have popped on its own anyway.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, what does the body naturally do
right.
with foreign objects?
Exactly. Now, it's something, you know, this drawing salve, like I say, with the activated charcoal or this herb that I can't pronounce, whichever one you use, it might have the ability to sort of, like I say, lubricate a wound, make it easier for something to get out of a wound. And it might actually have, you know, the charcoal actually is going to pull some chemicals out of the wound. It might actually help with a bee sting or something. But I don't see how in the world it's going to pull a splinter out of your hand.
Mm-hmm.
No.
I think we need, like, Deepak Chopra or something to tell us.
Right. It's the power of, you know, the salve. But it probably does do some things to help loosen up the wound and let the splinter get out. So it probably does something. I'm going to say that it's not complete bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's not been tested enough, and I don't think it really works that well at all the things people think it can do. Well, people are using it instead of good medicine, and that's the problem.
Uh-oh.
Use it as well as, because it might work. There's a few papers that point to the idea that it may help draw or may help draw wounds, lubricate wounds and help them heal and keep them from getting infected.
Maybe you don't drink enough water, and maybe that will lubricate your skin a little bit more than normal, and it will help you heal.
Of course.
If you also take the antibiotic.
Triple antibiotic ointment and, you know, things like that work really well, too. There's probably better medicine out there, but this probably works to some extent. Now, having said that, these are actual ointments that have actual things in them, drawing salves. But there is one called PRID, homeopathic drawing salve. Yeah. Okay. It apparently, drawing salve is fairly effective at removing splinters. It softens the skin around the splinter, and then enables the body to more easily eject the foreign object. That makes perfect sense. But homeopathic drawing salve? Well, having looked up homeopathic drawing salve, PRID, all-natural homeopathic drawing salve, made by, I'm not sure, Walker Pharmacal Company. Pharmacal Company. Okay. Well, anyway, looking at what's actually in it, it's not really homeopathic, or let's just say it's sort of homeopathic. Because as we know, homeopathic preparations are mostly just water, right? They're just diluted to the point where there's nothing left in it. However, this homeopathic drawing salve is mostly rosin, beeswax, petrolatum, which is petroleum jelly, sterile alcohol, methyl and propyl, paraben. So that's just sort of your salve base. Mm-hmm. It's just that right there may help lubricate a wound and help something to come out. But it also contains, it contains some really diluted, like, flower buds and shit that don't really do anything, you know, just so you can say it's homeopathic, you know.
It's like, ooh, I want to make a homeopathic product that will really make people feel, like, good inside and increase their well-being and heal them. Let's go get some flowers.
That's right. Flower
and
power.
Water.
Yeah. So there's sulfur at a 12X dilution, which is like 0.00000001%.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some other, like, flower hibiscus marigolds. But anyway, this is all low dilution, but there's a couple things in here that are at a times 2 dilution and a times 3. Now, that's not homeopathic level. There's still some of that there. Well, the first one is listed with the homeopathic Latin woo-woo sounding all fancy, acidum carbolicum. That's carbolic acid, otherwise known as phenol. 1%. 1% phenol. 1% phenol and 1% herb I couldn't pronounce. So it's
maybe
not...
You changed the word to make it sound homeopathic to people that don't know what the word actually translates to.
Right.
I'm fine.
Yeah. So there's some herbs. There's some sort of astringent herbs in there. And then there's carbolic acid. This is acid salve. Okay, this is I'm sure that it softens the tissue because it's literally burning you with acid, with carbolic acid, which is not something that's only 1%. But still, that's a nasty fucking chemical. So this is
pretty much the case of the misuse of a terribly defined word.
Yes.
So homeopathic has a definition of what it's supposed to
yes.
be, and they're abusing this term,
yeah.
and which is being already abused in the first place.
Right. Well, some of these herbs are in there at homeopathic concentrations. They're just not actually there. You know, there's some flower petals mm-hmm. and stuff diluted 1 to 112 times. They probably don't mm-hmm. do anything. But then there's other ingredients that are 1%. And that's not mm-hmm. that's significant enough for it to be an active ingredient and actually do things, right?
So they're pretending to be homeopathic.
Right. Or they're stretching the name of it. If they have some homeopathic ingredients in there, does that still make it homeopathic?
I don't know
either.
The term has no definition. It's like, how homeopathic do you have to be?
Right, and besides which, besides, homeopathic preparations are always just water or a water with a minute amount of the active ingredient in it, because you dilute something that does the symptoms and it cures it, right? Well, then you got active ingredients like carbolic acid and these rather astringent herbs that actually do something. Carbolic acid may even, it's nasty, it's phenol. You don't want, it burns you. That's what it's doing. But having said all that, with the flower petals diluted times 12 aside, this stuff probably does do something. This is a homeopathic, quote-unquote, remedy that probably actually does something because it actually has active ingredients in it. It's not just water. It's basically a wax and petroleum jelly salve that contains carbolic acid and some... And that probably put on a wound. Carbolic acid is antibacterial. It'll keep you from getting infected.
So they're almost exploiting, they're exploiting the homeopathic audience by saying, hey, we're homeopathic, which they're used to, I guess, understanding that it's, you know, good for the body, it's natural, it's diluted, and then they're going to make it actually work.
By
and
adding,
then they're going to think that the homeopathic shit works because they're actually using non-homeopathic methods.
Right, they're using straightforward chemicals that have been known to work for years. Carbolic acid, they used to have a thing called carbolic soap. They used from the early 1900s to the 1970s. Is an antiseptic soap. It's also used in industrial paint strippers. Yeah, it's nasty. Back in, it's used in treatment, surgical treatment of ingrown toenails. And back in the day, Seventh-day Adventist John Harvey Kellogg was advocating that masturbation was the cause of all diseases. And he advocated burning women's clitorises with carbolic acid. Or as children, you know, it was sort of the female version of circumcision. Thankfully, that one didn't catch on. So that's what that is. It's an old ass the remedy that we have things that are much better than that. But damn fine, though, a carbolic acid salve might actually draw out a splinter because of the action it has on the wound. You know, maybe it's chemically reacting and pushing things around. Maybe there's, you know, gas being evolved. I heard people using baking soda and stuff to remove splinters. So I don't know.
No, what the shit could work?
This might work. You know, it'd be a lot cheaper if they just threw out the stupid flower petals and shit and just called it drawing salve instead of calling it homeopathic drawing salve, but whatever.
They sell more, I bet.
You can, exactly. You can
staying homeopathic.
Spend a lot more money that way. Okay, so those are drawing salves, and these things have been around for hundreds of years, these ideas of drawing out boils and wounds and getting things out of your body using a salve.
Is this a kind of related to the ear candle?
No, ear candles don't work at all.
I used one, and I was convinced of it, and then I realized what happened 3 years later.
I did an entire show on ear candling last year, and it drawing salve probably works to a certain degree. Maybe not well, but it probably works. It's probably better than nothing. It's probably better than placebo. Ear candling is nothing. Ear candling is just...
It's funny, though, whenever you're making your significant other do one.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
It's wacky because, you know, I laugh because you've got people fooled into putting a fucking candle in their ear. And they're sitting there with a burning candle in their ear. And
like a plate on it.
Like a plate on it so the wax doesn't burn your face. My grandmother was burned by an ear candle. My aunt ear candled my grandmother and burned her. And it's been demonstrated beyond a shadow of a doubt that they don't work. Like the stuff that's inside of them is just burnt wick and melted wax. We have labs. We can test things, you know?
Well, according to all the pictures, it looks very soothing.
Yeah.
And obviously that means it works.
Right, exactly. Heat in your ear. It's actually kind of dangerous, and you shouldn't do it. Yep. You shouldn't put drawing salve in your ear either. I want to point that out. Or your rear. That would really hurt. So those are drawing salves. So they probably do something. Here's the thing, though. When I said don't look up black salve, there's a whole other kind of drawing salve that's out there called black salve. And it's illegal. The FDA has strongly spoken against it because these people claim that their black salve can draw out cancer tumors.
Uh-oh.
Yes, they're trying to cure cancer with a salve. Now, you can draw out a splinter, you can draw out a boil, but you cannot draw out a fucking cancer tumor. It doesn't work that way. And by draw out a boil, I just mean you soften the skin so it pops through. That's really what's going on. The cancer, this black salve stuff is made from something called, it depends on where you buy it, but they're also known as escharotics, I believe is how it's pronounced. An escharotic is something that makes an eschar, which is a nasty thing. It's basically like a scab full of necrotic tissue. So if you look up black salve on the internet, you will see pictures of people with their noses burned off, with holes in their faces. It's quite disturbing. I don't recommend it. Black salve is made with something called bloodroot, which is an herb. So, you know, it's an herb, so you know it's got to be good for you, right?
Yeah. You know, you have to go close to the ground.
Right.
I mean,
exactly. The salve itself is also known as cansema. And the herb in question is, I've lost the name of the herb, but it is, oh yeah, bloodroot. Bloodroot basically produces this very toxic chemical that mm-hmm. destroys human cells on contact. And so what they try to say is that if you have skin cancer, then you could put this on your skin cancer and it will eat the skin cancer. It'll draw it up and then eat it off. And then that big black fucking necrotic scab, they think is the cancer dying and falling off. What it really is just your skin dying and falling off. This is different from a regular scab because it actually contains necrotic tissue. It's disgusting. And this is an old cure for skin cancer. And what it does is, yes, if you have an external skin cancer and you burn it off, that is one way to get rid of a tumor.
Yeah, that's but you can kind of go to the doctor and, I don't know.
Yeah.
Do it a safe way with medical observation and medicine.
Yes, there are really nice things that we have to get rid of skin cancer. We have a form of surgery that I've forgotten the name of now because I accidentally closed that page in my browser, but there's a form of surgery called where basically they cut off a little bit, they test it, they cut off a little bit, they test it, and they do a map of your area where the tumor is until they think they've gotten rid of every possible bit of that tumor. It's a very precise scientific way to get rid of a tumor. If you burn it off with black salve, yes, there's a possibility you could burn the tumor off completely.
A little bit of a different picture.
Yeah.
Piece by piece, carefully.
Yeah.
Burn it. Burn the whole area.
Yeah. There's a chance that you can miss some of it. Well, the first chance is you could disfigure your fucking self, and it's very possible. People have burned their entire noses off doing this. Secondly, you could miss some of it, and because you wounded the cancer around where the cancer is and exposed it to the blood, you could have that cancer metastasize and move to other parts of your body. So it's very dangerous. Basically, it's extractive blood root called sanguinarin.
Big word.
Yep, and an ammonium salt, which I think it's zinc. There's also zinc chloride in some of these things. These are all zinc chloride when mixed with water becomes acidic. Basically, you're burning your face with acid. That's what you're doing. There are some companies. It's illegal to sell this in America. People have been prosecuted for this. They're still selling it, though. Like, the FDA has spoken out against it, but the FDA has to specifically go after these people. And there are some companies outside of America that are selling what they're calling black salve, and it's nothing more than sulfuric acid. Just burn your face with some fucking sulfuric acid salve.
You'll feel better in the morning.
Yeah, it'll be great. Zinc chloride, the extract of the creosote bush, just really caustic, nasty shit. But because it comes from a root, it's got to be good for you, right? Because it comes from nature. It's a naturalistic fallacy.
That's where I will at least throw a little evolution comment in there.
Mm-hmm.
If you hear about the natural world and you hear about these dangerous fucking things, that if you touch it, you eat it, you smell it, it sees you, you're dead. You're like, wow, that's not very safe. I don't feel like I was put here, by a god. This isn't a really, friendly place. Why would touching that gecko with the tip of my finger kill me?
Right.
Why is that? What could cause that? What would be the point of it? And so, if you don't have God to go, well, God made it that way because of the fall of man or something, then you have to explain it to evolution. So with roots, that's this whole dangerous idea that eating natural, whatever the fuck that means, is good for you.
Mm-hmm.
But there is no real term to eating natural.
No.
Because if you eat natural, according to eating roots is okay, then go outside and eat the grass, eat the dirt, eat whatever chemicals that you see in the pool, in the pond, natural. It's fine.
Yeah.
You know, that's not actually the way it works.
No, no.
Because plants evolved to survive just like we do. So if something comes and bites our leg, what do? We defend ourselves. We're like, ow, pain sensors. I need to attack. I need to defend because my life is at risk. My reproduction in the future is at risk. You defend yourself. But you have a brain to do that. The plants, they have to defend themselves. They sit in one spot and they're exposed. They have to defend themselves. They do it with chemicals.
Right.
And the one thing they really need to protect is their root system. So to say that you can eat roots because it's natural and it's good for you is bull, because we need to go, okay, sure, we could eat some roots like potatoes and stuff, and it has nutrients.
Yep.
You're eating the life source of a plant.
And the only reason we can eat a potato is because we bred them to be edible. They were poisonous to begin with.
Yeah, exactly. So these poisons that are in these root systems
are
there because of the fact that it has to protect the root system. Things eat the root systems because that's where the energy is.
Right.
So it is actually extremely dangerous to eat a lot of roots.
Yep.
Like the bloodroot, because of the fact that it probably has a predator in the area that was exploiting the roots, and it ended up developing this poisonous toxin so that it would burn the fucking mouths of things that ate it.
Right. You know, whenever these snake oil peddlers talk about toxins, they love to use the word toxin. They don't realize what it means. This is the proper use of toxin. Toxin is something found in nature that whenever you're exposed to it, it's found in plants and animals. Bee sting venom, snake venom, these chemicals in roots. These are toxins, you know, the stuff that makes you break out when you touch poison ivy. That's a toxin. They're not man-made. They're absolutely natural.
Yeah, they're usually defense mechanisms.
Yes, exactly. So the surgery is called Mohs surgery. It's a microscopically controlled surgery. It's used to remove cancerous tissue or radiation therapy. So, you know, if you had a skin cancer that you were thinking about treating with black salve, please don't. Please fucking don't. Mohs surgery will probably work just fine for you. Yeah. The point to Mohs surgery is to do it precisely so that it doesn't metastasize. So they get every bit of the cancer and doesn't have a chance to get into the bloodstream. Same with radiation therapy. If you can target with radiation therapy, you can kill the cancer cells without it metastasizing. That's the whole point. Now, black salves, there's all these testimonials. Well, they've been around since the 1900s. So fucking what?
Because that fucking matters.
Right. I mean, it produces, the word is eschar. E-S-C-H-A-R is what it produces, a black scar called an eschar. And it's a piece of dead tissue. It's usually found in burn injuries or gangrene or ulcers or fungal infections or necrotizing spider bite wounds and exposure to cutaneous anthrax. But no, we're going to do that on purpose to our skin instead of going to the doctor.
Yeah, I'm just going to wildly use it. Like, hey, you think you might have something going on? Just rub this on there.
Right.
It's going to hurt. You're going to bleed. Some flesh might fall off. But that's the cancerous part.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
And some of these alternative medicine quack nuggets are out there. I made that one up. Are out there peddling this stuff secretly. They're like, what you really need is black salve. But, you know, the FDA. I mean, I went down the rabbit hole with this one and found there's these conspiracy theories. Because there was a guy, his name was, Greg Canton. Greg Canton sold black salve through a company he called Alpha and Omega Labs, which I thought was an interesting name. Alpha, and I am the Alpha and the Omega. You know, it sounds to me like there's a religious connotation to that. So he got convicted of a couple of things. I mean, he'd already served time for counterfeiting before he started.
Good start.
So that's, you know, a convicted counterfeiter. That's who I want to buy my medicine from. But you start researching this guy and looking up the various times he's been in and out of jail and the various lawsuits and stuff, and all these conspiracies. Like, you go to these natural news type websites, and they're like, "Oh, it's just the FDA just trying to stop the good medicine in order for the hospital / big pharma complex to make a bunch of money. They got to get rid of the remedies that work." So they can sell their dangerous placebos.
Yeah, and even if all of the medicines that FDA approves, blah, blah, is all bullshit, it does not matter, because you still have to prove the fact that what you have works. Mm-hmm. And they don't. They don't do it. They go, mm-hmm. FDA, all that medicine's bad. It's not good. Don't do that. Don't do that. The conspiracy is ours.
Yep. And in fact,
but I won't prove why.
This is an example of not only does it not work. I mean, it does work to a certain degree. You could burn off, you could hold a fucking blowtorch to a cancer tumor on your face and possibly get rid of your cancer. I wouldn't fucking recommend it. But it's definitely not safe. I'm at Quack. One of my favorite websites is called Quack Watch, and they have a document called "Don't Use Corrosive Cancer Salves." If you're squeamish, I wouldn't recommend going there because they have pictures. Picture of a poor woman who had what she thought was skin cancer and burned her entire nose off. Some people
think that, like, if you're like, "Ooh, I should turn back. I don't want to go to the doctor, but it is on my face."
Yeah.
So I should probably. Maybe I'll go to the doctor. It is on my face versus like a wrist. Test it on the wrist. Don't go, oh, it's on the nose?
Yep.
Black salve.
Here it is. The cancer salves were first documented as a form of quackery in 1955 in a Time article. It's been known for years this was bullshit. There was a 37-year-old woman who had a skin condition that later at Duke University, or Duke Medical rather, they proved was not even cancer. She was convinced that it was. She went to a backwoods healer.
That's good.
Yeah, because we still have shaman in the South. Who applied salve. Soon a quarter size hole disfigured her nose, opened up the nasal cavity. They had to build her a new nose at Duke Plastic Surgeon had to build her a new nose.
Whole nose probably had cancer.
There are people though, so while I was reading about all this, I went to the Alpha and Omega website, Alpha and Omega Labs, and it's just layers and layers of bullshit. But what really, really bothered me, I almost cried, were the testimonials of people who are like, "I'm not going to do chemotherapy. I'm going to use black salve. It's natural, and I know it's going to help me." And it makes me sick. For instance, there was a woman said that her pastor had tumors inside of his throat. And rather than go to the hospital, they applied black salve to his throat, and the tumors came from inside his throat to outside of his throat. And now they can get rid of them. Like, no, you just burned his throat, and those were necrotic scars. That was just bits of dead flesh falling off. And your pastor's probably going to die from his cancer because he's doing that instead of going. And I'm like, praise God, natural stuff is the way to go. There's always a religious element to this stuff. It's so funny. It's like, I guess being really religious leads you to being really gullible, just in general.
Yeah, I guess, I know we only have maybe 10 minutes or so before we start the Chris Webber section on paranormal.
Yeah.
I wanted to say, like, you know, with all of our ranting and how much we get pissed off and how stupid all of this is, a very human aspect of why we care, it is really upsetting. If you take a step back and you stop making fun of these people that are buying into this stuff,
yeah,
you realize that they most likely have been put in a situation in which it's kind of difficult to not be ignorant about these kind of things. They've been raised a certain way. Maybe their parents didn't, you know, do this. They didn't go to that school. Maybe they just weren't interested in the subject. And then they're put in this country where we can lie and we can cover up and we can sell bullshit. And they're victims. These people are victims.
Yep. So
and
this is
taken advantage of. They're getting hurt.
This is why I advocate so wholeheartedly for critical thinking. I mean, yes, I believe critical thinking leads you to become an atheist personally, but I don't care. I mean, I do, but I don't care if you become an atheist or not. I just want you not to be a victim of people, whether they be preaching from a pulpit or selling you bottles of bullshit on the side of the road. I don't want you to become a victim. I mean, my heart hurts for this pastor. I don't like pastors. I think pastors are the scum of the earth. But this pastor, he's probably going to die of cancer with a burned fucking neck because they're using this black salve instead of taking him to the hospital. And someone else writing in saying that they're not going to get chemotherapy, that they're not going to do the chemotherapy because they're going to do the all-natural thing instead, and that that'll be better, and that they've already lived 7 years without chemo. Like,
they've been convinced that the natural way is better, and that's what's closer to the earth, and that's what's, you know,
there's nothing natural
about hiding.
Right. There's nothing natural about burning your face off with acid and bloodroot.
Yeah, but if you put it in a nice little bottle and say it's been around for hundreds of years and it works great and it's blah, 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 beeswax and flowers and stuff,
yep,
people buy into it. And I don't blame them, especially from the label. You can't fucking tell.
No.
What the hell you're looking at?
But
you
I'm very.
These wound segments.
I'm very glad that the FDA has cracked down on this one, because
it's fucking dangerous.
You're not going to find this in the store. What you're going to find this is you're going to go to one of these like naturopath conferences, and there'll be a guy in one of the conference rooms who will shush everyone, saying, "We're going to talk about black salve, and we're going to talk about how to make it yourself, or how where you can buy it, or you can buy it from me through this mail order number, just you know, under the table." This has happened. And people are going to get it, and they're going to burn their faces off. Or they're going to die from cancer.
And that's why, like you said, critical thinking is what we have to help people with. It's not teaching them every single thing that's wrong or everything that's a lie out there.
Right.
Because you have to have the ability to filter through that information yourself. And to realize when something's suspicious, or maybe to always, what is the motive of the person talking to you?
Right.
What are the things that are included, or what are the things that they could not be mentioning? What are my biases? And you need to learn those skills to do
right.
it yourself.
See, what they do is they appeal to conspiracy theories. And I think this works on religious people, because religious people naturally don't trust the secular world. They think that it's, a lot of them think it's of the devil, so they think that there's these grand conspiracies for the FDA to suppress the natural cures that God wants us to have, that kind of thing. And so you appeal to this conspiracy, you know, the things that they don't want you to know about. They make the other people be a villain when they themselves, I mean, if you look at the website, I'm talking about Alpha and Omega Labs, it's just full self-righteous, their line, their little subtitle is the triumph of medical science over politics and greed. They always make out the other guy, they always make out the medical establishment for being greedy. They're not the ones that are greedy. It's you, motherfucker, that's greedy.
There was a class I took in college that the very first day, I don't even know what class it was, but the very first day, there was a sheet, and it had a whole bunch of titles and news articles. And you had to tell or have an opinion of what you felt was wrong with the title and how it was representing an article or how it was starting off incorrectly. And it was all based on trying to find how people sway your opinion on the subjects based on the wordings of the title. So you have the greedy medical establishment versus the people.
Right.
Okay, you've already made people assume that the medical establishment is greedy. You're making them into the bad role. It's a versus a good people. So the people are you. So you automatically assume that they're the ones that are doing the right. And the medicine's bad. That's giving those people that opinion from the title. They do it constantly.
Yeah, and they do it. They do the anti-scientism. They do the appeal to nature. You know, it's the evil, greedy corporate ones that are trying to stifle us natural, godly people. Mm-hmm. You know, that's sort of how they present themselves. And they're not natural, and they're not godly. They're charlatans, and they're quacks, and they're, in my opinion, they're evil, greedy bastards. It turns out, though, that Mr. Canton there, who ran this company, a joint task force of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and local law enforcement raided his offices and factory. And he was sentenced to 33 months in prison for weapons possession by a felon and for defrauding customers and violating FDA regulations. He had a previous felony conviction for counterfeiting in 1990. So he filed for a writ of habeas corpus. Based on ineffectual counsel in 2005. This was denied with prejudice by the courts. So hopefully the guy will spend some time in prison. But it doesn't seem like 33 months. I would put the guy away for years for selling that shit myself. Mm-hmm. But whatever. Basically, okay, so selling caustic plant alkaloids to burn your face off. Here's the thing. That plant alkaloid, sanguinarin?
Big word.
Yep. Here's the gold nugget inside the turd. Here's the silver lining of the cloud. Sanguinarin, the nasty caustic chemical in bloodroot, the plant alkaloid that basically destroys any cell that comes any human cell that comes in contact with, has shown some promise when used scientifically with technology as a way of treating certain cancers.
Yeah. Exactly. So you have something that does destroy shit really effectively.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't wipe it all over the place.
No.
What could we do?
It turns out that a lot of dangerous chemicals we find in nature, when we take them in small doses and manipulate them correctly scientifically and use them, target things, they end up being good drugs. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, opium, which is addictive, so it's not the best, but opium, when in the plant, kills the animals that eat the plants. But if you give a meter dose of an opioid, you can keep people from experiencing terrible pain. There's a lots of different things that these chemicals can do, and it turns out that that actual active chemical in the bloodroot may have some promise in actually treating cancer when targeted in the cancer cells using technology, not slathered on with a salve. Unfortunately, as you know, it's toxic to all cells, but it looks like it might be more toxic to cancer cells. So if we could find a way to target cancer cells with it, we could actually use it to cure cancer,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to what these freaks are doing. They're even selling it now, saying that even if you have internal cancer, you could rub it on it on yourself, and it'll pull the tumor through and out of you.
I bet people are going to swallow that stuff.
Yep. Yep. So, and people end up, what they end up doing is burning their, making a necrotic scab and burning their skin and thinking they're getting a tumor out of them. It reminds me a little bit of like psychic surgery, only yeah. you're actually doing harm to yourself.
Yeah. You're actually, disintegrating the flesh
yep.
of your patient.
Which, yep. I mean, it's sort of like, you know, when they say something attacks cancer cells, it's like, yeah, you know how you can kill cancer? Shoot it, pour gasoline on it, blow it up. Lots of things kill cancer, but they also kill you.
Yeah, like therapy is very specific timing, very specific amounts. It has a very specific method to allow radiation, certain places, certain times, certain amounts, for certain cancers.
Right.
It's so dangerous that we can kill things really effectively that we want, but it causes a little bit of collateral damage.
It does. Nothing's perfect. There's no, if anything is going to affect part of your body, it's going to affect all your body. What I mean by that is that if it's strong enough to have an effect on you, a medical effect, it's going to have side effects. There's mm-hmm. just no such thing as side effect free treatment. And when something as terrible as cancer, it takes an extreme treatment to kill it. And therefore, there's going to be some extreme side effects. And that's unfortunate. And these people claim that there's no side effects to their stuff, but there sure is. Exactly. Your nose fucking falls off.
God made the bloodroot.
God made the bloodroot to burn your nose off.
Devil, sin, fall of man.
There you go. Exactly.
Have you had something shitty happen to you today as an atheist? Or hell, any other day? Did someone close to you say something hurtful because of your atheism? Maybe a teacher in your college classroom promoted creationism? We want to know what happened. What hurt you? Pissed you off or just made you want to roll your eyes into the back of your head? Call our Skype voicemail line at 469-250-5909 and leave us a short voice or video message. Just call to bitch or rant or even cry. Your story might be aired live with our new segment, A Day in the Life of an Atheist. So call us. Bitch us out. Let us be your punching bag.
I wanted to say this real quick to everyone out there, that I've received some emails and things from people, and I really appreciate it. I haven't had time to really read them and prepare a response because I've been moving. So, but I thank you for the emails, and the next show we should be ready to go with, like before, I should be ready, not moving, having spent all my time boxing up things, and I'll be able to respond to your emails next episode. Here's a commercial for one of our friendly neighborhood podcasts.
Hi, I'm John.
And I'm Combo.
We may not be as biblically literate as the Reverend Duncan Waters, or as smart as Rachel, or as knowledgeable as Professor Stevens.
But we sure know a lot about gluten-free Jesus crackers, priestly indecency, and theological nonsense.
So after you've had your fill of Pastor Roy inviting young men to be baptized in his hot tub,
check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, or any other podcast format to hear all about theocracy in the Midwest.
Or listen to us at theillinoisreport.com.
That's theillinoisreport.com. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Yep, so that was a commercial for the Illinois Report. A couple of really great guys. Good podcast. So, are we ready? Or should I play something else? Okay, I got a thumbs up. Looks like Jason isn't quite with us yet, so let me see if I can find something else here to play real quick. Let's do a whole bunch of, let's promote our Patreon.
You're probably sitting there right now wondering what in hell you are going to do with that $2 in your pocket. Well, fear not, my friends. You can support the show by visiting patreon.com/atheists. You're welcome.
All right. Is everybody there? Hello? Are we ready yet? Okay, I'm going to have to do something else for a bit. Because we're not, I'm the only one that's talking right now.
Hey, I'm good to go.
Okay, good.
Welcome. I'm here too.
All right, welcome to the show. I was getting a little worried there. I'm running out of commercials to play.
I was playing the game The Witcher 3, and I was like, I gotta save.
Oh no,
that game is badass, by the way.
Yeah, I have a friend who really loves those Witcher games. Yep. All right, well, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're gonna
appreciate being here.
Yeah. So we're going to introduce yourself and let us know what we're talking about.
Well, I don't know if Jason wants to start or if he wants me to jump in and say what's going on.
Whatever you want to do.
Yeah, definitely. I was going to, you know, I'm actually really happy to talk to you right now. I've been listening to you, your podcast, both of them, for a long time. But Paranormal Skeptic Academy, that's kind of what I want to talk about tonight, and I kind of want to talk about ghost hunting, because one of the things that bothers me the most is ghost hunting shows.
Yeah.
And the crazy that I see, and I was telling Rachel, one of the things that scares me is when I see these people that either A, they know that it's not real and they're fooling people, but mm-hmm. what's even scary is the fact that they actually believe this stuff to be true.
Yeah.
But that, I just kind of wanted to lead off with that, and I'll have Chris go ahead and.
Well, yeah, you know, I got into doing this podcast because of the ridiculousness of ghost hunting shows, you know, how ridiculous they were. And I wanted to point out to people, you know, just the insanity of what these people do.
Right.
And I aim to do that with the podcast and hopefully do it in an entertaining and funny way. But also at the same time, I want to kind of educate people not only in skepticism, but also in critical thinking and analyzing evidence in the proper way to do research.
Right. That's awesome. So would you agree these ghost hunters are a lot like psychics? In that, like you said, they come in two varieties, ones who know they're full of crap and then ones who've convinced themselves that it's true?
You know, I wonder if the ones that are on TV actually believe the hype. Because I think they do. I think they get to a point in their lives where whether they want to believe or not, they end up believing because either it's economically advantageous for them or psychologically advantageous for them. I know there's probably some people out there who are, you know, faking it, lack of a better term, faking it, and are just trying to bilk people out of money. But I think the guys on TV, I think they are true believers based on what I've seen and what I've read about them.
Okay.
Well, lately, what I've really enjoyed is that it's called, I can't remember the name of the show, but it's they have this guy who basically, he's a house inspector. It's like, what's the name of that show, Chris?
Paranormal Home Inspectors.
Yeah, that, listening to you talk about that show is the funniest thing in the world. And you had